Okay, Chevra, if I could have your attention for a moment. I was very, very happy to get the text from Meir that Rabbi Sekenik is able to give a shiur this summer. Each year it is an amazing experience because you don't even realize that, you know, you think he's just the guy running the kitchen. I mean, that's like the serious Talmud running the kitchen, which makes sense because you want to make sure the food you're eating is kosher. But on the other hand, like, this is a person who wants to spend Yom HaValayla in the Beis Medrash, and it's so exciting for us to be able to have him give a shiur for us, even for a brief time this evening.
Okay, what time do I have to go with mine?
Okay, so just to start off with the Milsa de Tikusa, I know you guys are very very curious about who's going to win Color War. So Be'etzem, it's Kahuna versus Malchus. So there's a Beferish of Rambam that, was this Hara already made? No? Okay. So the Rambam at the beginning of Paragimel of Hilchos Talmud Torah says that there's three Kesarim. There's Keser Kahuna, and there's Keser Malchus, and then there's Keser Torah, which is the Masmidim. So the Masmidim win color war, and there's two reasons why. Number one is because Camp Keli is all about inclusion, and the Rambam makes it very clear that in order to be Zelfa to Keser Kahuna, you have to be from Zera Aaron. Keser Malchus, you have to be Malchus Beis David. But when it comes to Keser Torah, we include everybody everybody has a chelik in Talmud Torah. And then to top it off, the Rambam paskins that Keser Kahuna is the greatest of all the Kesarim. So, Yeshkov to you guys. You really changed the. You have a horror on that? Keser Shem Tov. That's a Mishnah in Avos. This is a Rambam in Talmud Torah. Okay, but. I don't know if it's a Sira. I don't know if it's. But it's a big yeshu call to you. You really changed the whole tour of the camp, right in the middle of the camp. There's people, Yosheva Osek Batorah, so yeshu call to you, and thank you for giving me this opportunity. For the Rav's 10th yard site, there was a series of shiurim in the YU Beis Medrash. I was learning in the YU Beis Medrash at the time. And every night, somebody else would come in to speak. So there was a couple of very memorable drushas. Some were stories about the Rav. Some were his hashkafo. Some were his lumdus. So his grandson, Rabbi Tursky, spoke. And he gave over a yesod that I want to share with you. I want to share with you tonight. When we think of brisk, we really, leaving out the personalities, we think of two things. We usually think of Tzvei Dinim, or two Dinim, two ways of understanding the Sugya, a Chakira, a Lungus, and then we also think of Chumras. So I want to share with you his explanation from the family about how that really goes down, what the real story behind that is, and hopefully give a couple of examples through which we can learn about what the Brisker Chakir, the Brisker Lungus, and also the Chumras are really all about. He said as follows. Overly simplified, the Rav's father, Rav Moshe, used to say about Rav Chaim's Derech HaLimud, it was very simple. There was nothing fancy about it. It was three words. Rishonim ken learning, which means the Rishonim knew how to learn. You know, we could trust that if Rashi wrote a Perish on a Pshat in a Gemara, Tosus wrote a Pshat in a Sugya, they knew what they were talking about, and they were correct. Now, that sounds obvious to us, and for many of us, the way that we learn in yeshiva, that's, of course, it goes without saying. But the truth is, in earlier generations, it wasn't like that. In the Achronim before Reb Chaim, like the Mishpanos Yaakov, the Shagasari, when you read the tshuvas that they wrote, a lot of times the Shagasari will have a machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam, and he'll quote a Gemara from over here and a Gemara from over there, and through that he'll prove that one of them is right, one of them is wrong, and Mamela, we're going to paskin like one over the other. And that was always how it was done. We figured out which Rishon was right, and Mamela, we came to a Psak Halacha. Reb Chaim came along, and Reb Chaim's thesis was basically that it's not true, that all the Rishonim are right. Well, if they're right, then what about that Gemara? So that's what Reb Chaim worked to do. He worked to say, well, that Rishon, whoever it was, clearly had a different angle on that Gemara. He had a different understanding of the sugya. So everything that Reb Chaim is trying to do, he's trying to give klalim, as Rabbi Reisman said, but he's also trying to explain to you how, even though it seems like this Gemara might be a question on the sheet of the Rambam, it's not really a question. Really, the Rambam had a completely different perspective on the sugya. And when you understand the sugya like the Rambam did, the Gemara is not a problem. So that's how he explained it. And then he mentioned that once you have that hashkafa, that all the Rishonim are correct, and it's just a matter of trying to figure out how they understood the sugya, all of a sudden we have a concept of a brisker chumra. It makes a lot of sense. You see, if we have a machlokas Rashi and Rambam, and just for argument's sake, Rashi is right, Rambam is wrong, so it doesn't seem to make sense to paskin like the Rambam. He was wrong. We rejected his opinion. So why would you be machmir for the shita of Rambam? Comes along Reb Chaim and says the Rambam is really right. So if the Rambam is right, there's a very strong basis for being machmir. Not as the psak halacha for Klal Yisrael necessarily, and Rabbi Tursky made it clear that the concept of chumras and brisk were in the family, although over the generations, I guess, they've spread. But the concept was that when Reb Chaim learned the sugya, every Rishon had a very strong tzad that couldn't be rejected. So you had to, you almost were forced to learn the sugya that way. So I want to share a couple of examples which I think can help us see this and understand that, you know, I think we grow up sometimes with a perspective that the briskers are, they're just looking for any chumrah that they could find, and they'll, whenever they could find it, they'll jump on it and they'll use it. And the truth is that at its root, starting back from the Reb Chaim and his children, that was never the case. That wasn't what they were aiming for. That wasn't what they were going for. So I, over the years, I've collected what I call brisker kulas. Brisker kulas. Rabbi Reisman once gave a Navi shir about brisker chumras, and I thought, oh, that's so nice. But that's such an easy shir to prepare. So every time I saw where what we call base brisk, the brisker tradition was makil. Now, I don't use makil in a halachic sense. I'm using it in a, when we think of a chumrah, that life, like something that we're being strict on ourselves, you want to say depriving yourself, or it's going to be more difficult, and as opposed to a kula where life is just a little bit easier because you had that leniency. So I just want to go through a couple of them. I don't know, I'm not going to get to all of them because of the time, but and I'm sure I didn't catch all of them, but here we go. First one I would mention is before we go to sleep at night, there's a bracha that we're supposed to say, bracha of hamapil. So it's in Hakona Alomo Chelek Beis, Simen Chav Beis. So you look there, you'll see Rabbi Leibowitz goes through the whole sugya of hamapil, but he brings a list of a couple of reasons why some are makel not to say the bracha. And among those, there's a quote from Reb Sternbach that I think it's the Brisker Rav and also the Belz Rebbe, that they were makel not to say hamapil. Again, in before we even get to why, in brisk it wasn't. It's not a kula in the classic halachic sense. This is, so to speak, the din. And the way that Rav Sternbach explains, which is quoted in the Sefer, is that the chiyuv is not to say the bracha before you go to sleep. The chiyuv is, I hope I'm getting this right, the chiyuv is to say the bracha when chevelei shena overcome you. So the Brisker Rav saw that as basically an impossibility. It's the time at which Chevli Shena has overcome you and you're dozing off. Now you have to make the bracha. That's how Rav Sternbach quotes it. In the Sefer Uvdus Vahanhagos Lebeis Brisk, which is four volumes, so I have two of the volumes at home. So he gives a little bit of a different explanation about why the Brisker Rav didn't say Hamapil. So the story he tells over here, this is Chelek Beis, page Samach Aleph. It's a little humorous. The Brisker Rav, he said Hamapil, and then he realized when he finished the bracha, now al pidin he's mechuyev to fall asleep. So you can imagine when the Brisker Rav would do a mitzvah, B'chol kocho, his whole body would get so excited. So he said the bracha, then he realized, oh, I'll be Allah, I have to go to sleep now, quick. And he was so excited that he didn't fall asleep that night. So after that, he said, forget it, I'm out. And he didn't do it. So that's the way the story goes, that he wasn't able to fall asleep that night, and after that, he didn't want to say Amapit. Again, whatever the reason is, but here we have that the halacha was noveya, came right out of the way he understood the din. We sometimes feel like there's a natiya. People sometimes have a natiya to be machmir, to always look to be, but that's not what the Brisker Rav was doing. The Brisker Rav was looking at the din, understanding the din at its shoresh, and that was the halacha. So that's what he did. So that was hamapia. And many times, a lot of the times that you find brisk being makil, it really comes from a different chumrah. So there's this is not a kula al pidin. The Rambam writes that when it comes to Kiddush Shabbos morning, the Rambam's nusach is Kiddush Rabba Mevarech Bor Piragaf, this parak of Tes Kiddush Shabbos Alach Yud, Kiddush Rabba Mevarech Bor Piragaf and Bolvad. You only have to make a Bor Piragaf then. So the way that the world understands is you're not mechuyev to do more than a Bor Piragaf. So some have a minhag to say Shemar Shemar Shabbos Akacho. I follow my father's minhag, I say Yom Tashiv. I don't know anybody else that says it. I don't know. I've never seen anybody say it. I've heard anybody say it. But that's what I say. The Brisker Rav had a different take on it. The Brisker Rav understood that the Rambam was dafka. That when the Rambam said you make a Bor Piragaf and Belvad, he understood that you're only allowed to make a Bor Piragaf. I don't know if you ever had that feeling Yontif morning when you're so relieved that Kiddush goes so quickly. It's just one Elim all day and then boom, you're done and you can have your piece of cake or whatever it is. So in Brisk, they only made a Bor Piragaf. Why was that? So that Reb Chaim explained the Shita of the Rambam, he felt that Chazal were Mechayiv you to make a Birchas Hanenim. And that was the Chiyuv. And in order to distinguish the Kiddush, this is what Reb Sternbach explained in his Tshuvas, in order to distinguish the Kiddush of Shabbos day from the Kiddush of Friday night, Reb Chaim learned that the Rambam Shita was that you're not allowed to say more than a Bor Piragaf. That it has to remain only a Birchas Hanen. So, again, in a way, it makes life a little bit easier, so to speak. So we'll call it a Kula. But the truth is that there's really a Chumrah that comes out of this. Because if you've ever seen people huddle around the person after he makes Kiddush, some people are makbid to drink a little bit of the grape juice. So it's two reasons. One reason is because you like drinking grape juice. But the other reason is that there's what they call in the belt, a Brisker Chumrah, to drink from the Kiddush specifically on Shabbos day. Why specifically on Shabbos day? The answer is because Reb Chaim learned that it was a Birchas Hanenin, which meant that you only have to make a Bor Piragaf for the Kiddush, but at the same time, in order to be Yotze that bracha, a Birchas Hanenin, in order to be Yotze, you have to eat something. You have to drink something. So in order to be Yotze the Bor Piragaf, you have to drink. So it comes out that he has a little bit of an easier Kiddush, so to speak, but then, but again, it's what was driving Reb Chaim was just the way that the Shita of the Rambam came out. Nothing to do with being strict or less strict. It was, what was driving him was, this was Pshat in the Rambam. This was, again, like, these were the klal of the Rambam. The Rambam just said, you make a Bor Piragaf. Reb Chaim understood that the Rambam was saying something much deeper, that it was a Berchas Hanenin. And whatever comes out of that, comes out of that. If it means that Kiddush is shorter, then Kiddush is shorter. If it means you have to drink, then you have to drink. Yeah?
Why did they drink from the back pictures, not...
Interesting. I don't know that you need to. Usually if somebody marks a Bor Piragaf and everybody's holding an apple, that's fine also. I would think, yeah. Okay. The next one, also where you see that the din comes out of Balimud, there's a Mishnah Brura. There's a Mishnah Berurah in Hilchas Sukkah. Get to Mar Mukul. Hilchas Purim. One second. The Mishnah Berurah in Tafrei Sadi Hay, Sivkat and Yud Ches, quotes the Binyan Sion with a suffix. if a person is mechuyav to give mishloach manos al yedei shliach. That's a suffix that the Mishnah Berurah quotes. Why would you have to give it al yedei shliach? So the binyan tzion shita was, it was based on the pasuk. The pasuk says umishloach manos. You should send manos. And there are those who are not, but I saw that they quoted one of these Piskei Halacha for the Shem of Belsky, that Rebelsky used to encourage people that one of the Shalach Manos that you give, you should try to give to somebody else to give to the next person. So the Briska Rav, they asked if they should do it, and he said, there's no need to do that. You don't have to be machmir on that inyan. Why not? Because that's not what the Pasuk meant. Umishloach manos ish lo yehu just meant that they sent it. Didn't mean, it wasn't talking about shlichus. That's like that's a drasha in a pasuk that doesn't exist in Chazal. So there's no reason to be makbid on it. There's in the Sefer Asufos.
The Binyan Tzion himself, he raises that issue. He says, yala al daas, then you have to send it through a shliach. Obviously, what it means is what Rama says, that the Mishaleach, the other guy's not Mekabel, that the mitzvah is in the Shiluach, he's not Mekabel. That's why it's called the Shloach Manos. Because you did your mitzvah, even if the other person turns it down. And it's only so the Mishnah Berurah quotes as like a Rama, something that the Binyan Tzion entertained. If you look at the Binyan Tzion,
I'm saying the Binyan Tzion himself didn't.
What?
The Binyan Tzion himself didn't say that.
He actually rejected it.
Uh-huh.
It was like, that was a rhetorical question.
Uh-huh.
It was
okay, good. I didn't look at the Binyan Tzion. I
took the Mishnah. But he gives that other explanation of why it's Mishloach.
That it's Mishloach because of the Ramaz Din that...
Yeah. That if the other guy is Mokha.
Is Mokha, Mechila, Ramaz Ben Mechila. Okay, Yofi. Either way, the Mishnah Berurah does quote it. The Brisk Rav said not that there's no reason to do it. In the Sefer Asufos, Rabbeinu Chaim HaLevi, he brings a raya from the Gemara that this din can't be true, because the Gemara has a story of two Amorayim who are Mechalfi Sudasi, they exchange Sudas, and Rashi explains that one year he went to his Suda, and the next year he went to his Suda. So Reb Chaim says, you see that there was no exchange of meat, there was no shliach. The Shalach Manos was that you ate the Suda at my house. So I put the food down at the table and you ate it. So, and they were Yotzim Shalach Manos, so clearly there was no Indian of Mishloach Manos over there. So again, you see that the psak of the Briska Rav wasn't, okay, let's just be machmir. The psak of the Briska Rav was, let's understand the shorish of the din, and when we understand the shorish of the din, we see that there's no reason to be machmir in that case, and therefore the Briska Rav was makil. Okay, I think I'll just maybe time for two more dinim where the briskers are makel. The next one is a little bit dangerous. This is a case where, you'll see, a case where it comes out that the briskers are makel in a certain area, but really, it comes straight from the halacha. And there are many chumras associated with this kula. So here we go. I've never seen it happen. There's a shmua that Shturbach quote, all the svarim quoted. All the svarim that talk about brisk quote that the briskers would not go outside on Shabbos with a pair of tzitzis. So if you thought that that's a good kula, it gets better. The Ramban in the Melchamos in Shabbos Yubezim Abez Daf Erif, it's kedai to see it inside because it's almost unbelievable. It says that there's a Kabbalah from the Baal, that the Baal Hamor did not wear tzitzis. He just didn't wear tzitzis. Why didn't he wear tzitzis? Because the Baal Amor, who was a Das Yachid, the Baal Amor paskined that Tchilas is Ma'akev Esalavan, and this is why it's dangerous to talk about these Inyanim in front of every Leibowitz. But, okay, if I make a mistake, I'll be corrected. So the Baal Amor Shita was that Tchilas is Ma'akev Esalavan, which means that if you don't have Tchilas, then there's no, you're not Makayim the Mitzvah. Rav Shturmach goes on to explain, so what? So, okay, so the Baal Amor held for himself, that was the psak, that you're not making the mitzvah. He didn't have the tcheles, so he didn't wear tzitzis. There was no Indian to wear tzitzis. Fine. So why didn't the Briska Rav go outside in public with a pair of tzitzis if he didn't have tcheles? So the Sternbach, who speaks about this Indian, so when he speaks about this Indian, he says that he thinks that it's probably because when you wear, I mean, I guess the times of the Gemara, times of Chazal, everything they wore was Dalet Kanfos. No, we don't do that. We put on a pair of Dalet Kanfos in order to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. He said the Brisker Rav must have understood that if it's not your beged, it's not something you're wearing, why are you allowed to go outside and wear the shirt? It's your beged. But why are you not allowed to carry a bag on your shoulder? Because it's a masoi, you're carrying. So you can't go out to Shuz Rav if you're carrying. So he understood that if you're not being Mekayim the Mitzvah of Tzitzis, then your Talis Katan would be Begeder a Masoi, and you'd be carrying. So let's just understand. So they didn't wear Tzitzis on Shabbos because there was a Balamor, who was a Das Yachid. So there's one Chumrah, that the Balamor, who says Tchelis is Makib is Halavim. Then you have a problem that it's a Masoi. Simple solution. There's an Eruv. So here we have another Brisker Chumrah. The Mishnah, it's not only briskers, but there's a sheet of the Rambam. I'll go through it very briefly. In a perfect world, every city would have a wall around it, and every shul would have a box of matzah in it, which would be the Erev, and everybody would be happy. But we know that we don't live in places like that. Most Erevin in all the cities we live in, probably all Erevin, have what's called a Tzuras HaPesach Erev, which means that the outside of the outskirts of the city is enclosed by, usually it ends up being telephone poles. People who are involved in Erevin can probably tell you better, but it's a Tzuras HaPesach, which is a Kanamikan Al Gabehem. So the telephone pole satisfies that requirement, and you enclose it with telephone poles, and you're good to go. The Rambam Shita is that the Tzuras HaPesach only works for up to 49% of your enclosure, which means, let's say you have 75% of the city is enclosed by walls, and then you have a problem. You have a few hundred feet that are wide open. So the halakha says that's called a pirtza yeser meyeser. It's more than 10 amma pirtza, and it, so to speak, breaks the whole enclosure. So what do? You put up a tzuras hapesach. So the Rambam says the tzuras hapesach helps to enclose an area, but not the whole. You can't make the whole thing into a tzuras hapesach. We paskin that you can. That a tzuras hapesach is halachically a wall, so you can enclose the whole city with tzuras hapesach. But the Rambam shita is that if it's what's called in halacha, if it's parutz meruba al amud, parutz means it's broken, amud means it's standing. So if you have more than half of the wall is broken, and you're going to fix that with Tzuras HaPesach, the Rambam says that's not acceptable. The Tzuras HaPesach is only there to close small patches. So all of our Erevin, the Rambam would hold, are not valid. So the briskers are machbid for the sheet of the Rambam. The truth is the Mishnah Berurah quotes this as well as the Roy Lahachman. The Mishnah Berurah at the end of Shin Samach Beis, which is the simin about the Tzuras HaPesach, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this, and he quotes that the Smag and the Smak are also machmir, and Rabbi Liebowitz is smiling.
Not only could the Balamar wear tzitzis in North Windings, we found tchelis, but the
and that's going to get to my third brisker problem.
but the Rambam, the Balamar can wear tzitzis on Shabbos, even if he, for some reason, didn't hold the tchelis in North Windings, because we're surrounded by walls on three sides.
Are?
Surrounded by water. It's not good for floods, but it's good for the municipality. It's right.
I actually know about that. I might have some relatives who suffered through that. Okay, there we go. So the Balamor would be in good shape. But the Balamor never wore it. Oh, we have the tails. And that brings me to my third. Yeah. You're saying the strings. Even if it was a lavush, the strings, but if, so I don't know what, but if they're connected, if you, unnecessary attachments, I don't know, I don't have to think about it, I'll look into it. All right, give it some thought. Okay. The third problem, so now, okay, so we have that the briskers, they're makbid for the balamor. So they're not gonna, you might not be makayim the mitzvah. And then, yeah, let me just get to the third and then I'll take the, okay. Then the other problem is that if you're not makayim the mitzvah, then it's a masui, and then you have to be somach on the Erev, and it can't be somach on the Erev. So the obvious solution would be just to put on tcheles. So this is the third brisker issue, if you will, with doing that. And that is what's quoted in the name of the Beis HaLevi. There are, if you look in Hakon Olam Chelek Aleph, there's two versions of what the Beis HaLevi said. There's a version that's quoted in Shirim L'Zecher Abba Mori, and I've heard this from a Talmud of that learned in, by Rabbi Avraham Yeshua Soloveitchik as well. So it's in the family. And then there's the way the Radzina Rebbe explained the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi, as explained by the Rav, was that you need a Mesorah, and once you lose your Mesorah, we can't have that. If you look, Rabbi Leibowitz has a raya from the Rishonim that maybe the Mesorah doesn't matter, Ayin Shom, but at least Lefi Brisk, Lefi the Beis HaLevi, who was Reb Chaim's father, so it wouldn't solve the problem to put on the tcheles, because according to the Beis HaLevi, you wouldn't be accomplishing anything. The way that the Radziner understood, it's possible that you could have put on the tcheles, but either way, so this was a chumrah of the of the briskers, not the word sits outside. I don't know anyone that does it, but. Again, in order to have a kula of not having to wear tzitzis outside, there are three chumras that you have to have in order to be able to come on to that.
Question. Most briskers hold that you can't use airs. Like, does Rafferty not use the air?
He's in. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. Yeah, it's hard to imagine.
Really?
Yeah.
He doesn't use airs.
But, one second, they're also in Manhattan. When, wouldn't use any city here.
Because
of so many things. I can't do that. Okay, I don't know.
You're only machmir for the Balamor on Shabbos?
No. In other words, they're choshesh for the sheet of the Balamor. But on Tuesday, could be the Balamor is right, but it could be Shari Shonim are right. So you can't not wear tzitzis on Tuesday. But on Shabbos, you're creating a different problem that they have to deal with.
Do they not make a bracha on Tuesday?
I don't know what they... because of that? I can't imagine that. I don't know. I don't know. I have to think about it. The choshes, maybe it's a Safik bracha. It's a Safik different kindness. I don't know. Okay. I guess I'll tell you what another one that's interesting that we'll just close off. Again, this is not a kula in the classic sense, but when you're sitting at the Seder and you wash your hands, no bracha, you come to sit down, and then you see there's like a little potato, and then the Balabais cuts that little potato into like four pieces, and he gives you a little tiny, teeny little bite to make sure that you ate less than a kezayis. So obviously, everybody would be a lot happier if they could eat a kezayis. So the briskers eat a kezayis, because the Rambam Shita is that anytime you have a din achila, you have to eat a kezayis. There's a lot of lumdas, I don't have time for it, why people are makbid not to eat a kezayis. It has to do with the Bor Pri Adama and Maror and making a bracha achrona, leaving it out, the Shita, the Rambam, and this is how I think all the briskers have done it. The Haggadahs, the quote, the Rav, definitely did this, or Baron Lichtenstein, I heard, did this, but I think Chazanish did this as well. The Vilna Gaon did this, the Sheet of the Rambam in Parakhes of Hilchos Chametz Matzah, that they would eat a kezayis, and definitely make the mitzvah of Sipur and Tzitzis Mitzrayim a lot easier. You could eat a kezayis of Hadama. I just want to end with almost humorous story, I think, that brings everything together. There was one sukkah, the Briskerov was outside of the sukkah, and he was thirsty, and he asked for a drink. somebody brought him a cup of water, and he drank the water. And that was it. Meishako drank the water. So they pounced on him. How could you do that? What do you mean? But the Shulchan Aruch says we're supposed to drink and eat everything in the sukkah. So without even flinching, the Britzker Rav said, look in that din in Shulchan Aruch. What does it say? Umishi yachmir al atzmo v'lo yishta chutz l'sukkah hilumayim hareza meshubach. He said, that's only for the machmirim. I'm not one of the machmirim. Thank you very much. Go ahead. Okay. It's recorded. That story is recorded. That's all.